Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Travel Department. Discover hundreds of unforgettable destinations with expert local guides.
Well, first this morning, I'm joined in studio by Gartha Representative Association President Mark O'Mara. And we're not going to talk about issues in the force, but a more personal side to Mark's life. He's given an interview this week to Des Gibson in the Gartha Review, the magazine that goes out to members of An Garda Síochána, a conversation he thought long and hard about. Mark, it's nice to welcome you to studio.
Thank you very much, Miriam. Thank you.
Now, listen, first of all, the interview you gave to the Gartha Review, it's about being a gay man in the force. But you thought long and hard, Mark, didn't you, about telling your story?
I did, Miriam. When I was first elected as president in 2024, Des approached me and asked me would I do an interview in relation to it. I just felt the timing was wrong. And I felt that, you know, after being elected, there was too much to do as president in the role. I was delighted and proud to have been elected, and I just thought it would detract from it, and it was the wrong timing for me. So just before conference this year, Des approached me again and asked me, would I do the interview? And I suppose it's like so many things in life. You're asked once and you might say no, but when you're asked again, you have to make that decision. And as you say, I thought long and hard about it, because it's not like it's job related, it's your own personal life. And normally I'm quite private, but I felt that if the story went anywhere to help any person, whether it be, you know, my colleagues or those in the GRA or friends or whatever, then it was worth doing it. And that was the reason for it.
So why this moment? Is it because you just decided you could help others? Why have you decided to speak out at this moment?
I suppose after the initial separation and divorce, and then, you know, it takes a long time to come to terms with things, you know. Somebody asked me, I think Des joined the interview, about the big reveal. There was no big reveal. And a friend of mine said to me that as a gay man, you will come out every day of your life. And I didn't really get that. But, you know, when I'm at work and somebody is talking to me and they're asking me, and what does your wife work at? You have to tell them, actually, it's my husband. And you're very conscious, not for you, because I'm quite happy in my own skin now, but for them, it can be almost embarrassing for them. So you try and reassure them. So you do on a daily basis, I think, as a gay man, you do come out. And it's just the nature of the beast, I suppose, really. But that's what it was. I suppose for me, looking at colleagues, realising what I went through, how difficult it was for a number of years in my adult life, I suppose, really, and how it played on my mind, how it affected me, both mentally, to a degree, physically, but definitely, confidence-wise, it had a huge effect. And I think that's why I thought, if my story helps in any way.
Let's go right back to little Mark. Where did you grow up? Tell me about your background.
So I grew up in Thurles, home of the GAA. I was a middle child of five, working-class family. Very happy upbringing, very happy family. I suppose, you know, at that stage, I'm 56, going 57 now. People didn't talk about sexuality. It was something that was unspoken. So while you might know there was something different about you at that stage, you didn't know what it was. You just knew you were different.
And did you know you were different quite young or not?
I knew it was different. I looking back on it, you probably think it's just, I feel different. I'm not as confident as those around you. And it's probably the beginning of it, I think. You know, as an adult, I kind of came to that realisation when I was able to label it and identify what it was.
But I suppose, was it because it was back then you didn't think to yourself as a guy maybe in secondary school, oh, I think I'm gay or my sexuality is different? I don't suppose it's something you would have even felt comfortable talking at home about or to friends about?
No, and I was very lucky. My mother was very, very open-minded, a very warm person. So I think I could have without any difficulty. And ultimately, before both my parents died, I got the opportunity not only to come out to them, but they got to meet my my partner at the time, my now husband. And that was a lovely moment for them to meet him, and for my mother in particular, because she my dad died 3 years before my mother did. And so she got to know Rory, my husband, and so she loved him. He was another son to her. It was great. But I think for me, what I knew was different when I was younger, and as I said to you, I think it was more a confidence issue I felt. In my teens and early 20s, I have no recollection of any issue with my sexuality. Now, that could be because it wasn't, or it could be just because I had suppressed it. I don't know. But I know I was very interested in girls, and I had a number of girlfriends. And so, as I say, I had no recollection. And then, of course, I met my wife, Bea, at the time.
Now, tell me about be. She's a gorgeous woman. And you got married. Tell me about her. She seems quite remarkable, actually.
She's an amazing person, I have to say. And we're still very, very close. And I'm very, very lucky. Really am. And my husband, Rory, the three of us got on so, so well. And she loves Rory. She tells me every time, send my love to Rory. And she comes to us. And, and we go to her and we do a lot of jobs for her and different things. So we get on really well. And, you know, it's fantastic. We all co-parent our two. I say my two children, they're 26 and 31 now. So there's not much parenting in them. But we still do. B is very happy that, you know, my husband Rory is involved in the parenting. He says it as it is. He's not shy in advice. And I think that's why the kids are so enamoured by him. They love him. And, you know, we are very lucky. We really are. But she's a lovely, lovely person and very supportive, very loving. And we speak regularly, and we spoke about this interview, and I spoke about the interview on the Garda Review magazine. I think that, you know, just when I did the interview, for her to know I was doing it and what did she think. And if she wasn't happy with it, it wasn't going to go out. It couldn't. You know, I had to be very conscious of that. I wasn't really doing the interview for me. That's the other thing, I suppose. I had no real skin in the game, if you like, personally. I would have rather perhaps not have done it and kept my private life to myself. But as I say, when you're asked on the second occasion, I think it's right to do it.
Now, you mentioned there as well, you have two fantastic adult children. But I mean, we talk about difficult conversations in life. But when, first of all, was the moment? Here you are in a lovely marriage with an incredible woman, two fantastic children. But you realise your life isn't being honest or authentic. I mean, where was the moment you decided, I'm actually going to have to tell B the truth here? And then, of course, you have to tell the children. When did you decide that? And how difficult was that time?
I suppose there's two parts to that. Without sounding like the victim, because I don't believe I am a victim at all in this. I believe that I'm very, very lucky, ultimately, in how things turned out, even though it was most certainly one of the most, it was one of the most difficult times, not just in my life, but for B and definitely for the two kids. Albeit they were 16 and 21, they're still, I think, you know, they're always your kids, they're always your babies, you know. So for me, it came to a point where I think after the second child was born, a couple of years after that, I don't know why, I don't know how, but that lack of confidence, that now understanding that I was gay started to enter my mind. It was something I couldn't control in the sense that I knew was gay.
That a moment or something that happened over a period of time?
I think it was over a period of time, that the marriage itself just started to fragment, unfortunately. As I say, myself and B, we still love each other. We speak regularly, you know, there's no issue there. We're just not in love, that old cliche. But I think for me, it became literally an incessant, relentless thought process. I couldn't sit anywhere. I couldn't be in company. But I always thought, are they going to realise that I'm gay? Are they going to identify by the way I'm sitting, talking, laughing, holding a glass? Whatever I was doing, it was just constant, constant, relentless thought process. And it was just all consuming. It was very unhealthy, not only for me, but then the guilt of that. And for me, thinking I wasn't the person that I needed to be for my kids and for my wife. That was, I think, over that period of time, it became more difficult. And then because of that, while we still had a happy relationship, the marriage just began to fragment slowly and slowly. And there came a point where that conversation had to be had. It wasn't, as I said, it wasn't really a choice to have the conversation. I think for me, it was more survival at that time. It was making me ill, most certainly. I remember when I told my mother, who's since passed, and a number of weeks afterwards, she said that she noticed I was much happier than I had been for years and years and years. And I think without ever having that conversation with her, that's where the I suppose that alleviated that pressure off me and the family. You know, having to sit and tell B was difficult, very, very difficult. But from the outset, she was extremely supportive, which made it worse. Because had she screamed and kicked and fought, which is not her style, but had she done it, it would have been somewhat easier, I suppose, you know.
Do you think she suspected anything?
Funny enough, we only had a conversation again a couple of days ago before I came on air here. To discuss it and make sure she was okay with the story. And during that conversation, we revisited probably areas of our marriage and in particular I suppose, really, the separation and divorce that time. And there was conversations more about the impact it had on each other during that time that we'd never really spoken about. So this has given us a certain amount of closure, I suppose, and a better understanding. I mean, when I did the interview and I initially with Des for the Review magazine, I never really contemplated the effect it would have on B. I just thought, you know, she'll read that and she'll either disapprove or approve. But when she rang me about it, she had been crying reading it because there were certain aspects of it she didn't understand up to that point. So that was where the closure really began for the two of us. So that's just another positive effect, I suppose, from doing the interview, which I hadn't anticipated. You know, it's not a role where I've kind of ever pontificated from the pulpit before or the podium. I've kind of shied away from that. So I hadn't considered the impact, you know, on B and on the kids, who themselves have been hugely supportive again. Keep telling me it's a proud moment for them. I don't want it to be an interview where I'm encouraging people to leave their families. That's not what it's about at all. It really isn't. It was my story. And I thought if it was a colleague or somebody else that could benefit from it and realise that, yes, you're struggling or it's difficult and how hard it is on you and your family, that there is life after it. There is a way of getting through this as positively as possible, even though it is such a traumatic, I mean, it's a loss, it's a grief. There's no doubt about that. And all of the elements of grief and the stages of grief, you know, the fear, the anger, the guilt, all of that. And no matter how easy you try and tell your kids and break it to them, you know, as I said in the interview, for years afterwards, I could be out walking, I could be sitting at home, I could be, you know, driving, and suddenly you just get this frightening, as I say, moment of how did I tell my son? He was only 16. He sat opposite me. He had no idea what I was going to say to him. Not a clue. And suddenly this is you know, on his doorstep. But funnily enough, and we've spoken about it so many times since, it wasn't the issue of being gay. That didn't faze them at all. I suppose they're a different generation and they have lots of gay friends. But I think it was just that the marriage was over. That was the hard part, you know. And I couldn't help being gay, but I could help. And as did B, we made that conscious decision that the road forward, navigating through separation, divorce, that for me, I didn't matter. That was the one thing. As far as I was concerned, didn't matter to me at all. I was insignificant. It was the kids. I needed them to be okay and I needed B to be all right as best we could. And there was obviously going to be fallout. As I say, it was very, very difficult. But nonetheless, as we started navigating through it, we never had a crossword through it. Then again, we never really had that many crosswords during the marriage either. You know, I think the fact that we knew each other growing up and we were friends growing up, that's what made the marriage work and last as long as it did. And I think it also perhaps helped when I broke the news. Back to your question, sorry, you asked, did B guess? At the time, she said she didn't, but I think with hindsight, again, with the clarity of looking back, she had guessed on the day that I told her, because we had been texting each other that morning. We had gone for counselling to see, could we stay together, you know, and I knew it wasn't going to work. There was a comment passed by the counsellor that I misinterpreted, that I thought that they realised I was gay, even though they didn't, as it turns out. And of course, that put me on flight mode. I was panicking and I had to tell B then. So that's what happened. So that morning before I told her and we were texting each other, I remember her texting saying, it'll be okay. Everything'll be okay, Mark. And I said, it won't be. This isn't going to have a good ending. It's not going to have a good outcome. And I think it was following on from that conversation that she realised, our guest, is he gay? So we sat down, we had the conversation, and she asked me two questions. Was it financial? I said no. And then said, are you gay? And I said yes. And then, as I say, B was fantastic about it, and she just went into protection mode for me and support mode, which, as I say, that made it worse. Far better, as she screamed and kicked and gave up, which she never did.
She's just so lovely.
Lovely, really lovely person. Yeah, she really, really is.
And Camille, what about your colleagues in the Gardaí? I mean, they knew you, I assume, as a married man with two kids.
Yeah.
I mean, did you tell anyone? Was it an issue? Did anyone become aware of it?
Yeah, it's a strange one. When I told B, we said, look, I wasn't going to come out. I had no reason to come out. There wasn't anybody else involved. You know, yeah. I just, as far as I was concerned, this wasn't going to happen. If it happened, then I'd come out, you know, in a year's time or whatever.
You mean if you met someone?
If I met someone.
Yeah.
And then B spoke to a friend in confidence. And I think that friend told somebody else, and they told somebody else, told somebody else. And I know I've done join the dots and cross the T's, and I know what happened. And it's perfectly fine. Do you know what? It did me a favour, but in the ultimate, you know, scheme of things. But at the time, that really put me on flight mode because I hadn't intended coming out. And so I never really came out, but I was outed in that positive way, if you like. Yeah. So a colleague of mine...
in the Gardaí.
In the Gardaí, yeah. Asked me, come here, young fella, I want to talk to you. Is the story true? And I looked and I went, sorry? And then asked me again, and is it true? There's a rumour going around. And through my blood hit the toes, you know? And I just said, yeah. And I remember I had to walk away. But that was the start of it. But at no time, funny enough, because, I mean, I you know, where I worked is in the Garda College in the driving school. It's a really a male-dominated role at the time. Mm. We didn't have any female instructors at that stage. And you're kind of thinking, how am I going to keep working here? What's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember nothing but support from every single one of them. But then, I suppose, if the truth be told, Miriam, I quite often forget that I'm gay. And I think they forget it too.
Mm.
And so, you know, they just look at Mark and Mark is Mark. Once Mark is the same fella, they're happy, you know.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been an issue at all. As I say, and my previous station where I worked before that for 17 years was down in South Tipperary in Care. And when I came out there, as I said in the interview, I judged myself all my life because of my sexuality. And none of my colleagues or friends did. And that was... for me, and has been a great kind of comfort, I suppose.
Yeah.
And because I think it means that the family unit hasn't been judged.
Of course.
You know, no one knows what goes on inside any family. And what people think of your relationship and your family is none of their business, really. They may have an opinion, but it really is how you get through it and how you get on with your relationship and your marriage.
Now tell me about Rory, where you met him and when you married him.
So
everyone was at it.
Yeah, it was a big wedding. It was. Yeah. So I met Rory in 15.
So how long after? I'm trying to. How long after? You
it was probably, I'd say, 5 or 6 months.
Fine.
There or thereabouts. Grand. I'm not great with days, but it was in around that time.
Yeah.
And met Rory. I had met him briefly through work because he's a frontline emergency worker as well. So I knew him then, and then we first met just. I think for me, would you believe the truth be told, it was B who said, do you know anybody who's gay? And go and speak to them. Yeah. So I met Rory, spoke to him about it, and it kind of just took off from there slowly, but surely. And then in 2018, we got married, as you say. We had a big wedding. There was about 190 at the wedding, and it was a fantastic day.
Where was it?
It was in Hotel Kilkenny. They were incredible to us. Incredible.
And B and the children?
B and the children were all there in the finery. Yeah, all the friends and family. It was fantastic. A brilliant experience for us all. Really was. It was lovely.
Must have been very emotional. I'm just trying to imagine it. I mean, in your speech, I mean, how emotional was that day for you?
I think because of the relationship with B, while I did pay tribute indirectly, if you like, to be and to getting where I was and having the relationship that I had now, that kind of small words that I said on the day got me through the speech. I said the kids were there. They were part of the wedding day itself. And overall, I think we got through without any real upset. You know, it was just a joyous day, I suppose. I can describe it. It was a great day.
But you know, it's a joyous story that has ended with joy. And it's just so lovely that you all love each other.
Thank you very much.
And
thanks.
B loves Rory and Maury loves you and you love your children. They love you and Maury. So it's fantastic. And I think it's brilliant you spoke out, Mark, President of the GRA. Thank you very much for speaking to me this morning. And your Garda colleagues can read that interview with Des Gibson in the Garda Review, and best of luck, continuing luck to you and your family. Mark O'Mara, thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you very much, Maria.